The October meeting of Highway Parks Facilities Golf, we have all supervisors in attendance, Youth and Governance, John. That is our roll call. Approval of the minutes of the previous meeting, that would be the September 9th. Moved by Supervisor Nudo.
Second.
Second by Supervisor Dodge. Any comments? Otherwise, all those in favor, say aye for approval.
Aye.
Youth and Governance, aye. Opposed? Minutes are approved. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and government, comments. Anything from the committee? Any other supervisors? John? We're going to move on to citizens' comments. Citizens' comments can address the committee on any item concerning highways, parks, golf facilities. We would ask that you give your name and address and at the beginning of your comment. Speak clearly. We all have to have this all on tape. And you're allowed 5 minutes. So any citizens' comments? Yes, sir.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. First off, I want to thank the committee and for taking this. This is about the KD parking. I'll make mine short and sweet. I have a report from Mr. Supervisor Noodle. And one other thing, I don't know if he can do this.
Gonna need your name and address first.
Well, Bill Gumbacki, Town Chairman of Wheatland, 33911 Geneva Road, Burlington, Wisconsin. You guys already know what I've said about the parking situation over on KD side, a couple other people. We had some stuff happen since the last meeting, and I heard after I left that this went to a 90-day table, and thank you very much for putting on the agenda today. Some things have come up. The fire department's here, constable's here, some of the town board's here. I posted as a meeting, so we have a quorum here, so it's nice. It's all legal and good. The other thing is, after we talk, if it's at all possible to move number 11 up, because fire department training tonight. I was supposed to be in Green Bay 2 o'clock this afternoon for a convention. I skipped, but I'm gonna head up right after here. We'll see if that happens. That'd be great if you could move number 11 up. For Mr. Noodle, you guys all know how I feel. Everybody's been here. The DNR I met with out there, I met with our county sheriff out there. The DNR did send me a letter. They're gonna have us fill this in. 33 feet from centerline, the DNR has been in contact with the county. Sheila, do you know who Marty Johnson got hold of? Did you hear it? Have you talked to the DNR at all? No, you've gone. Okay. Well, anyway, they've got a hold of somebody. Got permit. You know, they want 33 feet, and what they have wanted us to do is fill it in, because what the letter is a letter regarding the gravel area in the Munster Wildlife Area, KD. By the dam in Kenosha County Park, this area is not an official parking area for wildlife area, but is used limited basis wildlife property. Users recently have seen an increase of county park patrons. So the state has already put no parking, but they've only put it on a berm. So they're granting us permission to build a berm on their property, which would be 33 feet from center line. So I'm just, and I would work with Mr. Sixma on that, and I'm still asking, and I thank you for putting it on the agenda, for no parking and no U-turn designation like I did on the first letter months ago. And you'll hear a couple of things, I think, here from public comment, but basically, I don't want to bore you with everything. Again, you've heard me already a couple times, so that's all I have for right now.
Thanks, Bill. And if you do have a letter from the DNR saying that they are wanting you to fill that in, I'd like to have a copy of it for Mr. Sipsma.
I got it. Thank you.
Mr. Sipsma.
We'll pass it to Gary right now. And Gary, just for you, we've got three construction companies that are donating their time, labor, and so you wouldn't have to, you know, I'd like to meet with you out there though, so wherever you want me to start that dirt up, and I want to work with you guys on this, but it'll help with people pulling in there, and the DNR does not want people parking there because they have their parking area up a quarter mile to the south on the east side of the road, so they want it fixed as well. So That's all I got, if anybody else.
Okay, just so we're very clear here, nothing can start until Mr. Sipsma approves anything out there. A letter from the DNR, Mr. Sipsma hasn't been contacted by the DNR. So, any other citizens' comments? Yes, sir.
Paul DeLuisa, 6802 Fox River Road, Burlington. This whole thing started because of me. We were on a fire call, rescue call. It's a bad accident there. Someone pulled out. Car came over the ridge, went in the other lane. It was a bad accident. There was a young girl involved. I came back. I was really upset about it, and there's no one to talk to but Bill. He's our highest guy in town. And he said, well, I can't do anything because it's a county road. I said, I understand that, but you're our guy. So I said, you need to go to the county. That needs to be shut down. It's death waiting to happen. Bill agreed. He did what he did and watched it and saw what happened, brought the DNR, saw what happened. Probably less than a month ago, I ended up calling Aaron. I was heading towards Twin Lakes, and two guys got out of their car, grabbed a canoe, and walked it across the road, and almost got hit by a northbound car. I saw them, so I slowed down, but they weren't in any rush to get across the road. I could have ran them over. And it's very dangerous. It's a death waiting to happen. And, you know, being in this business, you see it, you don't like it. And if it's something that we can stop by moving the parking, I think it needs to be done.
Thank you. Any other citizens' comments? Yes.
Kelly Wilson, 8003 328th Avenue, Burlington. I too feel it's a concern to the town as well as the county that there is people crossing the road at a place that really shouldn't be designated as a parking spot, and people to cross the road, especially when there's families going back and forth. There's plenty of parking in the park itself, so it really doesn't warrant that people should have to park on a county road like that. And again, it's a park allocated towards family use, so there are kids, there are families crossing at a spot that really is highly dangerous in my mind. So if we can do anything as a town, as a county, to omit any accidents like this, I think that's our duty. So.
Any other citizens' comments? Yes, sir.
Bob Santelli, 35350 70th Place, Burlington. Obviously, see me in uniform. I'm a town constable there, also a full-time police officer at Twin Lakes. I drive that road every day, going back and forth to work, and as part of my patrol function with Wheatland. And I, too, have a number of concerns. We have people, especially northbound traffic, which is terrible, coming over the crest of that hill. Southbound traffic, people wanting to utilize that parking place. I've seen them several times cross the center line, depart facing the wrong direction. We had kids sitting out there in the gravel 5 feet from the road. We have young families walking back and forth, carrying fishing equipment. In the wintertime, it's particularly concerning because you have people pulling portable ice shanties and sleds back and forth, and it's just an accident waiting to happen. I sat out there today for about 20 minutes and monitored traffic going both directions. I had one car in each direction at the speed limit, two cars in each direction under the speed limit, and about 55 to 60 cars 1 to 15 miles over in both directions there. So it's not a good situation. And I mean, I'm going to try to increase my patrol time there, but I am, you know, but one man there and limited hours and a whole lot of roads to patrol. I can't be everywhere. But I really appreciate some consideration to finding a solution to the problem. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Any other citizens' comments?
David Bath, 767 248th Avenue in Brighton. And also, I know that Chairman Gumbaki is very passionate about this spot right there. And I went out there and met him, and actually this has been kind of a concerned spot for many years. And it is in a spot, for those that haven't been out there, if to eliminate that little parking spot will help. And I'm not going to kind of rehash everything that was said. The day I went out there and I pulled out, Somebody came up, I accelerated quickly out of there to go northbound, but there was another car that came up over the hill, because you can't see him, and very quickly on my tail end. So that is, it is a concern spot. And maybe there's a possibility, like I live across the street from Brightonell Golf Course, and all along the park, there is no parking along Highway 75, along EB. Possibly you can put no parking signs right along the road there. And maybe down the road even consider on the top of that, right where the crest of that hill is, making some kind of, and I can see why people want to park there, because it's at the other end of the lake. It's a good spot to go fishing. I can see the day I was out there, there was one father with a son going across the street there. Consider possibly making a little entrance right there with a little parking lot. And I think Mr. Glumbachy said that there are some construction people out there. Maybe all the, there's enough resources out there to actually do it, or it would be at no expense to the county to do it. So something to consider, and I do agree that something should be done right there just for the safety of everyone else. Thank you.
Any other citizens' comments? If not, citizens' comments are closed. Is there anyone on the committee that would like to change the agenda this evening?
Chairman, I don't know if we need to move or anything, but I'd like to make a motion to move item 11 to the first item of discussion, just so we can accommodate some of the scheduling conflicts.
Okay, what you would have to do here would be to move the highway agenda. And before you do that, I do want you to take into consideration that these people do jockey for position, and that they each take a turn first and last on the agenda. So, I mean, it's up to you.
Make a motion to move the highway agenda to the top of the agenda list, and so we can get at least into discussion.
We have a second. Moved and seconded to move the highway agenda to the top of our agenda this evening. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Okay, motion carries. Gary, you're up.
First item under old business, tabled with possible discussion action, the ordinance on parking regulations on County Trunk Highway KD. If you recall, that is an ordinance that would install no parking signs along Highway KD adjacent to the county-owned property and extending, I believe it was 200 feet beyond the actual county property that's adjacent to the road, just to make sure that there would be compliance for vehicles that would be parking there and accessing the park. My original recommendation of the ordinance was to approve, and I have no change in that position tonight.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to untable item 11 so we can have an open discussion about it.
We have a second.
A second.
Moving a second to remove from the table item 11. Any discussion?
I am. Okay, I know we talked about...
Well, no, we have to first remove it.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
No, sorry about that.
President Olin.
I am the one who moved to put it on for 90 days, so I'm not going to move to take it off tonight. And I just can't believe that for 50 or 60 years, it's been like it is, and all of a sudden it has to be done right now. I think the 90 days was not an unreasonable request. I would like to hear an alternative. I mean, certainly in life, there's never one solution. And it seems to me it's been presented to us as if passionately, as it is the only solution, and if you don't do it my way, I'm going to go to the DNR and have them do it. So I'm going to vote no, and I want to have our staff come forward with an alternative. It seems to me we made some suggestions. If you put a pedestrian crossing...
Well, Doug, I mean...
I've said enough. If it gets off the table...
No. Yeah, this would be the discussion for taking it off the table. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chairman?
Well, no, hold it. Now, the motion is to take it off the table.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely, right?
Okay.
Still on the same point, correct?
Yeah.
And the reason I'm making that motion is because we've asked for some alternatives, but clearly there hasn't been enough time. But there is some true passion and concern with the level of public safety in that area, and I think that is my highest responsibility as a supervisor, is to take public safety into account. And that is why I'm making the motion, so we can have an open discussion. I don't necessarily think that this is the end-all to be-all, but certainly the individuals that live out there, travel that road regularly, or have to patrol it, feel very strongly that there is an issue here that we just can't necessarily continue to ignore. That doesn't mean that this is the final solution, but it at least moves it into a situation where public safety is addressed. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other discussion on the motion to take it off the table?
No.
Okay. All right. To take the item 11 off the table, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No opposed.
Chair votes aye. All right. We're off the table. Any discussion on the ordinance? Teresa Noodle.
I just want to make a comment on this here. I know we've been going on for a while, and to be honest, I was really undecided. I did want to look at some other alternatives, but it seems like time is going by, and we did not come up with a better alternative. I had the opportunity to talk to a few more people. I did drive over there, and this time I didn't have any problems in finding the park, by the way. And I talked to some of the law enforcement, which they're all in favor of putting no parking sign, and for the reason I'm going to support to put a no parking sign there.
Any other discussion? Supervisor Dodge.
I also, last meeting, offered some alternatives, and apparently it wasn't acceptable last time. Hill Blocks View, 25 miles an hour, was one that I see on W, could have been applied there. Gary says it lends its application to that location. So, you know, I too was hoping that by making a couple of suggestions last time that we would give our administration time to look at not only maybe parking on the west side, but the signage that we mentioned. And that's why I support it, and that's why I just now voted against taking it off the table, because I too believe that there's other options that we should look into, and I wanted to hear what those options are, and I still feel that way.
Thank you, Supervisor Dodge. Supervisor Noble.
Well, to continue on, now that it's off the table, again, it's been like this for 50 or 60 years, and many people that are in this room who want no parking, when they were younger, it was perfectly fine to park there with the same road, with the same topography. But now all of a sudden, it's not fine. And for 50 or 60 years, it's been like it is, and now all I asked was for 90 days so our staff could come forward with a recommendation. I don't think, it doesn't appear that they're pursuing a recommendation other than this one recommendation. And we threw out some ideas. It's, you know, it's not our full-time job to be traffic safety people, but I would like to have seen something else. If it wasn't the sign he suggested, we could have it could have been pedestrian crossing. It could be a, like I said, you could paint a crossing in the roadway and put a flashing light up high enough so that you could see it when you're cresting the ceiling, the road. Press the button, start flashing yellow. I mean, there are things that can be done other than no parking, but you have to have a mindset to be cooperative to consider that for 90 days, and cooperation is not what I was seeing last week at the last meeting. It was more bullying than cooperation, sir.
Anything else, Doug?
No.
for some of the folks that haven't been here or been involved in any of the discussion, Dave, you and for sure, there is a master plan for that part that shows a parking area on the west side. Supervisor Noble is speaking on wanting the staff to look into that. Now, yeah, 90 days, we're looking at 30 days, and naturally, they have other things to do and haven't come back to the committee with anything. I didn't expect anything within 30 days. But the fact is that there is a plan and has been discussion all along with the development of that park. The parking that is along the area where you live, a lot of it's to keep pheasant hunters from parking along there. In fact, that's the only reason it's there. So this isn't something that anybody, you know, took lightly as far as the parks, the highways. The problem here is it involves a couple different entities, and it was brought to the highway department, but the parks is also involved because the use is going to the parks. And so it's a complicated issue. What we naturally want to do is come up with a safe solution, and that's where the discussion has gone. Anything else from the committee? Supervisor Kalinske.
Mr. Chairman, I do appreciate Supervisor Dodge's and Supervisor Noble's comments, and I think everybody here listened to their suggestions last time. We did indeed vote to table this for 90 days. However, that didn't eliminate the problem, or at least the concern that's out there. I think some common sense needs to be applied to the situation, and that is, as a temporary solution, and maybe it's permanent, and maybe it's not permanent, we can certainly put some no parking there. Because, to the chairman's words, staff has many other things to be working on, and this may or may not even rise in the top 100. In the meantime, there is a real public safety risk or concern by the officials that are responsible for that area out there. Now, I wasn't around here 60 years ago or 50 years ago. That wasn't a park 50 years ago. It was a quarry. So whether or not people were parking there and walking across to go fishing is irrelevant to this discussion. It has become a Kenosha County Park relatively recently, I believe within the last 10 years or maybe less. And now that we've expanded it, and then once we have the funding in place to start developing more, it will become more and more popular and used. So traffic will only increase. I'm not looking at this as the final solution, although it very well may end up that way. What I'm simply saying is we need to do something from a public safety perspective, because we're being asked to by not only the officials but citizens that live out there and have experienced some dangerous situations or occurrences that are out there. And what I would simply do is just implore my fellow supervisors to look at this as not necessarily the final solution, and perhaps even bring a resolution or talk to Mr. Sipsma about other alternatives, but give him some time to do that while we address an immediate concern that the people that are out there and the officials that are responsible for the area out there have voiced. And they have voiced repeatedly, they have voiced very strongly, and they have a deep amount of conviction. They're not just coming out here and whining, oh, gee, somebody, you know, ran over my flower garden here. They're concerned about public safety. And we have an obligation to at least temporarily address this so that we do have time. And maybe that's through the master plan at the park, or maybe there's some other alternatives out there. But in the meantime, it allows us to have at least a little bit of breathing room and give the staff some time to maybe come up with some alternatives. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anything else? Anything else from the committee here? Supervisor Dodge.
There already is a no parking sign out there. Coming home from Madison, I stopped and I looked. There is a no parking DNR sign in that lot already.
No, Bill, do not start.
Okay. I'm just trying to help you out with when I'm running.
I'll help you out.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Supervisor.
That's all.
Bill, you interrupt again, you're out of here.
Oh, you want me to leave?
No.
Oh,
I'm just giving myself a moment. Okay, I'm going to break one of my own rules here and ask a question. I don't want any discussion from anybody in the audience here when a committee is discussing things, or you will be asked to leave. The meeting will stop and you will leave. Sheriff Beth, would you like to offer one more comment?
I would. And everyone here who spoke, I have to agree with. And Supervisor Knowles brings up, you know, 50, 60 years ago, and not quite sure that this has to be done today. And I'm truly not sure that it has to be done today either. I don't know what the whole plan is. 50, 60 years ago, this was a gravel pit, and until not too long ago, so they didn't have the fishing like they do now, or the opportunity to fish like they do now. It's much better. The fishing's better. And again, I don't know that this has to be done today. And the other supervisor bring up, you know, to deal with it, and I think we do need to deal with it. And there are options. I don't know that a crosswalk is the best way, because it is. I think you almost have to redesign the top of that hill, because it crests really, really fast right there. And possibly an option, at least a temporary one, might be everything on the east side of KD has no parking. And we allow them to park even in the grass or along that right shoulder so they aren't crossing the road. And we just let law enforcement know you can't. They can't park on that east side of KD. Probably that's a temporary option for right now. And then someday, you know, if it's in the plan to build a small parking lot up there, I think that'd be wonderful, because that would take care of the issue altogether. And it's not an emergency until someone gets hurt, and I hope no one gets hurt. And it won't be until the day that someone crosses that hill and hits somebody, and maybe it won't happen. And then it won't be an emergency. It won't be a rush to get this done if it doesn't happen. But I think, as Supervisor Dodge brings up, you know, other alternatives, I think one short-term alternative might be to just put no parking on the east side to get everybody on the west side of the road so that they aren't crossing that road right there. And there is, it's a pretty big shoulder. If they're parked down into the ditch, if everyone doesn't care, the parks don't care, I don't care, but right where they park is a concern. And again, it's not an emergency if no one gets hit or there are no close calls. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. Any other discussion for the committee? Vicki, do we have a resolution number on this?
We do not have one yet. Hasn't passed this committee yet.
Okay. So, on the resolution to put no parking along the county park property on Highway KD, 250 feet in either direction?
Approximately
200 feet in either direction on the east and west side of Highway KD. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Chair votes no. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Aye. Motion fails. New business, Gary.
Just a few items. We've completed the resurfacing program on the County Trunk Highway, so we successfully met our goal of 13 miles of that conveyor, 13 and a half miles of the County Trunk Highway this summer. So we have a little bit more work to do with some wedging, but I believe all of the projects turned out very well, and the crew did a very good job completing those within our summer construction season. So Another item, I guess the cat's kind of out of the bag on the Amazon projects along the East Greenwich Road between Highway S and 38th Street. I've actually been working with the developer for quite some time on that project and working with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. So there's going to be some significant improvements required along all of the adjacent highways under both city jurisdiction, state jurisdiction, county jurisdiction. So developer's been incredibly cooperative and we're going to we'll proceed working with them on making sure that any impacts that the development has will be mitigated by the developer or one of the different municipalities involved in the project. So things are moving forward real well with that. I think that was really the only thing I had to report on tonight. Any questions?
Thank you, Gary. Any questions for Gary?
Nope, just a the work your guys did on Highway E was really nice. I mean, I drove out the other night and I'm like, because it was in bad shape. It would have been nice to go all the way to the freeway, but I know. Yeah. But they did real nice work and it really, really did. Yeah. Thank you. And thank you, Cruz.
I will.
Thanks, Gary.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Just apologize to all the other department heads for putting it down on the ladder there. So you have to leave. Gary gets to get out of here now.
I'll stay, man.
I won't throw him out. Parks, John.
Yep, I have nothing tonight to report on the AD master plan. But I would like to give a little introduction under a new business for the resolution to purchase land at 961 Green Bay Road. I was approached by Huck Realty, I can't remember the date, and he let me know that what we call the Thompson Place on the northeast intersection of Highway JR and Highway 31 was for sale. That property, I read through the minutes since 1927, and that property and the one to the north of it called the Schaefer property have both been on the county's radar for quite a few years for purchase. Sewer PAC, in its last two parks and open space plans, have identified both those properties as in their parks and open space plan.
This is just one little corner of Pets with extending out this way and over this way. And these are the only two private parcels in that whole corner. So that's what we're talking about.
And which one are we talking about today?
Today, it's the one in the furthest corner,
right
here in the red. So here's Highway 31. And this driveway, it has an address on Highway 31 or Green Bay Road, but it's actually the driveway comes in off of JR. But this is the lot we're talking about right in the corner.
Okay. Anyways, the last two parks and open space plans from Sewer PAC have identified both of those properties as beneficial to the park system to be acquired, if possible, over the years. Both of those families, I've been here 40 years, and I would guess that the Schaefers and Thompsons have owned those places for 60 years. This is the first time that one of those properties has come up for sale. Again, this was talked about by the Park Commission when Matt was here, and it's I know it was on the administration's radar at the planning and the process for the last two parks and open space plans.
And
that's
fine. Okay. And before the committee, Mr. Rudy talked to the county executive about the opportunity, and the county executive asked me to meet with the real estate agent and make a positive evaluation of it. And we looked over the listing information. The house is over 100 years old. It was built there in the 1800s, probably 1860s, and it's assessed at $149,000. They were asking $99,000. We offered $85,000 to see what would happen, and they came back with $95,000, which we thought they probably weren't going to come down anymore, because we're not going to be able to pay them the money until next year, so they'd basically have to take it off the market for the rest of the selling time, the active real estate market time, and wait for their money. So we accepted the counteroffer and put together the information for the committee and the board, which I'll go over briefly. It's an acre point two in land. It's right adjacent to the park. There's a park trail within feet of the perimeter of this land. Just after that, there's a pretty steep ravines there. It was maybe in a little disrepair over the years, so you see old vehicles and whatnot on that lot. It didn't look that good with the park next to it. Always having any residences next to a park seems to bring some invite some trespass, you know, after hours to the park grounds, and that's what's happened with our neighbors over the years. Not naming names or anything like that, but those things happen. The park plan adopted by the county board, which was drafted by Sewer Pack and recommended by Sewer Pack, has that eventually becoming park land, both that and the other residence that's left on this big chunk of land. And when the Park Commission was in effect, and I don't know, that must have been 20 years ago or so, you know, they also had that in their scope of activity. So I think taking over from them, this is, you know, the right committee to say whether we're going to pull the trigger or not. This is a great opportunity, and we have the opportunity here to kind of square off that park land, not completely because of the other residents, and who knows when that's going to go up for sale. But I provided maybe a lot of information in the booklet here, or the park agenda packet, and I'd be happy to answer any questions on it, or if you want me to go on and on, I'll go on and on.
I think, Bernie, if there's, I think everybody understands the concept, and so if there's any questions, we'll be ready to know.
Yeah, I can, years ago, maybe 30 years ago, I walked those trails with my kids, and I do remember the trail coming very close to the property. I would have, by memory, thought it was the other piece of property. Does it go along both of these pieces of property, or what?
Yeah.
It does.
Right up against them.
And I can recall even thinking then, you know, when I wasn't even a county supervisor or even thinking of being one, that I thought, wow, that's, you're encroaching so close to their property, it probably would have been better if it was part of the park. I don't know what would you do with it other than the fact that you just wouldn't have the people right on the edge of your path. Is there any plans for this property? You're going to leave it vacant?
What would you do with it?
Right now, just turn it back into parkland and let it grow up, probably plant it in the trees.
No picnic area or anything?
We'd have to look into that further, being where that's at, right along 31 here.
Yeah.
See if it's suitable for a small parking area and a structure.
No witch's hat castle or anything?
One thing I'd like to add, though, is that that sits right on the same site as the Montgomery cabin. site.
The what?
The Jacob Montgomery cabin site, where we did that archaeological dig this summer. That's right on the other side of the fence. That whole area back in the early 1800s was a fur trading settlement, and acquiring that would also place that land, take that land from private ownership and put it into public ownership where it could be protected for the future as well. It's, one of my other concerns too is if that property was ever purchased and turned into a commercial development, say a mini mart or something right there against the park. So
that Montgomery cabin that Mr. Rudy's talking about is just over the property line in the county park. So it's in the county park, but when we walked, when we drove over there to look at the house, he said, "You want to see the remnants of the old cabin that was there, which might be the first cabin in the county." I said, "Sure." So we were just past the property line, and that's where the Parkside students and the Parkside professor were digging around last summer, and it's really close.
Any other discussion or questions? Supervisor Noodle?
I have a question. I was looking at the offer, and I see that you did draft the offer for the buyers.
I drafted the offer for the county, yes.
For the county. And we're not taking the property through eminent domain or anything. It's just a straight through sale.
Yeah. If we had approached them, we would have to use the eminent domain. When the government has a project in mind and they approach a citizen, the first thing that we have to do is, right, Gary? We have to give them this brochure from the state government that says, your eminent domain rights under Chapter 32 law in Wisconsin. And if you do go through eminent domain, as we sometimes have to do, if we can't make an agreement, it's a long process, and most of the time you can deposit the money with the circuit court and fight about the value later and take the land and make a highway or a turnaround or things like that, you know. But sometimes you can't. Sometimes there's things that'll block it. And then you have to pay for the appraisal cost, which is full narrative appraisal, and might cost a lot of money and takes time. But when a person comes to us, when a landowner comes to the county and says, I want to sell my land to you, they can do this either directly, like with the Brookside property we had, where the widow contacted us, or they can put it with a real estate agent and offer it to the whole world, including Kenosha County. Then we don't have to follow the eminent domain laws, according to the courts in Wisconsin. And we can just act like any member of the public and make an offer. Since they're offering it for sale, we don't have to go through Chapter 32, and we can just make a straight offer. And in this case, one of the unusual cases for the county is we have a real estate broker involved, which I was pleased because it makes life easier for me. But so that's the difference between us going to them or them coming to us. So like on this committee, I think, worked on the Silver Lake acquisition. Well, in Silver Lake, we had to start off with eminent domain. That was our idea. We went to them. So I think probably you follow these steps in here and all that.
Okay, that was pretty much the question why I asked the question, because the last time, you know, pretty much even though we did not get to eminent domain, but we're the one approaching the seller, so that's why we had to follow those guidelines.
Yes.
My other question is, there's a, like you mentioned, there's a real estate broker involved.
There is.
And we wrote the offer, when I say we, you for the county wrote the offer. It's not going to affect this commission in any way, so that was no part of the negotiations.
No, it won't. I could have had him do it or help me do it, but because I've done these, I know to protect the county, I like to write them up a certain way. I like to cross out sections. I like to not offer things. And so I just do it myself.
And First of all, I prefer that you get it, okay, so at least I feel more comfortable with that.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to make that. And also, I think this time the process used on that was pretty much more, or let's put it this way, a lot better than was done in the past. With the offer, counter offer, there was some negotiation.
There was some negotiation, yeah.
Now, the only thing, again, in there, the property right now is a non-conforming use, and it's parkland zoning.
It's illegal, but it's illegal non-conforming.
Legal non-conforming, yeah. Which nobody can really go out and build unless if the property would be damaged, they can remodel, but they cannot go, could not go in and build another residential property.
We do sit in the catbird seat in a way because it's our zoning committee that decides on changes in the zoning. But they could get a change in zoning. It's not impossible to get a change in zoning. And I think it would be a big change to go to a gas station or a mini mart or a convenience store, but it wouldn't be a big change if somebody said, I want to get rid of that old house and put a new house on there. That the committee might go along with. I don't know, I can't speak for that.
And the other question is, where would the money come? Because we're paying cash for the property. Where's the money coming to pay for the property?
Yeah, there's no fiscal note on here. I was working with Mr. Kupfer on that, and the reason, correct me if I'm wrong, the reason is because this is going to be in the budget that the supervisors are going to decide and pass here for 2014, and we put the closing date in early January 2014. So if you pass the resolution, then hopefully you would fund it in the 2014 budget.
But it's not in the budget right now.
It's in the 2014 budget.
Is it in the 2014 budget?
Yes.
The proposed one. Mm-hmm.
To purchase this property.
Yeah, see, because we were working on this in, you know, September and August, and that's when the county executive still had was still creating the budget. His proposal.
He has it in the 2014 budget. Any other questions or discussion? If not, all those in favor? Yes.
Do you guys know where it is? Is it under parks, the funding?
Jim, do you know where it is?
I can get the book and show you.
Okay, that's fine. And so the assessed value is, you said, 149,000. Did we have to pay for that assessment, or did the realtor?
They've paid their taxes up to date.
Okay.
And when we close, they will just have gotten a bill, you know, in December. They can pay that bill in December, or we'll take it off the purchase price in January.
Is there currently a residence then that lives there, or did they move out and the realtor purchased it?
No. It seems to me that the gentleman who lived there passed away, and his estate, are selling it. So the lady who signed the offer made the counter offer, rather. She's the personal representative of the estate. There's nobody living in there right now, I believe. Looks pretty vacant. There was some talk about one or other of the children might want to buy it from the estate, but they decided to sell it. So it's been vacant a fairly short time, and nobody's renting it right now.
And as far as we know, that's not in the works, because they're kind of looking at this. One of these things that you look at it and say it makes perfect sense. On the other hand, could we use $95,000 elsewhere, perhaps for something more worthwhile? Well, there's an argument to be had there. And obviously, I'll speak for myself, just kind of, you know, learned about this now. I live out there, and so I know those. The one further north, that's the one I'd really like to get, you know.
That one's very visible.
This one, Not quite. It's kind of tucked in there.
It's tucked in the way. Some of the vehicles were visible, but
yeah,
the house not so much.
And so, Mr. Chairman, is this something that needs to be voted on tonight? Or is it, Mr. Chairman?
I don't think anything needs to be voted on tonight, but we've made them an offer and they've accepted. And if we decide as a committee that we approve of it, tonight would be a good night to vote on it. Otherwise, if we don't, then it won't happen.
Mr. Chairman,
through
you to
Court
Counsel. Is there a time that they need a response from the county on, and I know the county is signed, but we haven't had any kind of budgetary discussions as of yet. We know it's in the budget. Like I said, if there's something else. Yeah,
there's a lot of things in the budget, of course.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
No, to answer your question, I didn't put a time limit on this passing through the committee or the committees and the board. And I don't like to do that because different things can happen, you know.
And I'm not saying, well, we'll get through 90 days.
I didn't want to put pressure on you unduly. I didn't want to, you know, throw the deal away because we're late. Either. So I didn't put any time limit. I just said subject to approval by the county board.
And I know that's a relative term, so don't get me wrong. If we were able, and I don't know, table it till the next meeting, because we've had some budgetary discussions by that time, would that put you in a situation where then the offer would be rescinded or the counteroffer?
That's
a gut feel on that.
Yeah, they can't really do that, I don't think, but let me just check something.
Jim, do you have a rough idea where in a budget
it's
it is?
It's parks, yeah.
It's in parks.
Okay. In parks, yeah.
Okay.
Good.
A little brain cramp.
Okay.
Well, hold on.
Yeah, no,
Mike's got the floor.
This is, to be honest with you, it would not queer the deal if you were to, if this committee was to put it over. I'll be honest with you, it wouldn't. I would like to see it move forward, but that's just me. You guys are the ones who make the decision.
Okay.
And it makes, I'm not saying it doesn't make sense, it's just that I'm a little torn here about the money, and the idea is solid, and it's just fitting in the budget. Does it affect something else where we need to have $95,000? So I'm just talking to myself right now. I'd just like to have a little bit more time to contemplate it a little bit. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Supervisor Noodle.
Even if, I mean, if we vote on it tonight and we approve the resolution, it still has to go to finance and then to the full board.
Correct? Yeah, correct. It'll be a month or so before it passes if it goes.
So the problem is going to go to finance. I don't know what finance is.
Thursday.
So it'll go to finance and it'll probably go to.
Just finance, just those two these two committees.
You would have to go through the full board too.
Oh yes.
Yeah. So
yes.
Got
a little time.
The other comment I want to make is, in the past I've been against some purchases of this properties of land. A lot of it was because of the process used, and a lot of it was about the price that we paid for this property. Well, as I said before, at least I'm pleased that the process was pretty much pleased with the process that we used this time. There was an effort made in trying to buy it for a lower price, even though I still believe that the price, the $95,000, is a little high. But considering everything, I don't know even if we don't pass it tonight or we go back to anything. I think it's too late now. I don't think where the sellers are going to come down once they get the offer for the 95. It's going to be pretty hard to come down the price.
I believe you're right about that. I believe that the price will not come down.
Okay. So also,
not for us.
Even though I feel that nobody's going to run to purchase the property, nothing is going to happen there, I think it makes sense for us to buy it and just have control, a little piece of land there for the future. So for those reasons, I'm going to
I'm going to support it tonight.
Any other discussion? Okay, Doug.
Move to approve and send it on to the Finance Committee for their approval.
Second. Second by Supervisor Dodge, moved by Supervisor Noble to approve the resolution as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bernie. Okay, John. That was the easy stuff.
For September, the Pringle Nature Center held their Fall Fun Fest on September 21st. They had really good attendance. They had beautiful weather.
Thanks, Bernie.
Park staff, the Pringle Nature Center have been asking for gutters and downspouts on the north and west side of the buildings, which park staff put on their, a couple of weeks ago. The Kemper Center, the Kemper Path is just about complete. We're hoping we can open it by this weekend. There's a little bit of landscaping that needs to be done, but it's pretty minimal. So with this weather that we're having, I expect that to be done. And Red Fine Springs, we awarded the contract for the riverbank restoration by Area 1, where the bank is all undermined and in danger of starting to chew away on number one parking lot. The work will be starting later this week. KD Park, we've had the interior of the shop painted. We're waiting for the phones and computers to be installed out there before we move the operation from Fox River to KD. Ron Schilt, is that how it's pronounced? The new engineer in the highway division went out and surveyed and laid out the new driveway and the future cul-de-sac, and the park staff just finished removing the brush and trees today, and we're hoping to start cutting in that new driveway hopefully later this year and have it cut in before the end of the year, and the highway division is going to do that work. Oktoberfest was the largest event we've had, or the largest crowd we've had so far in the 3 years we've been doing it. We estimate that we've had somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 people come and go at that event during the 8 hours it's operated. Fall Wheel Ride, we had over 100 bikers, and I think that a lot of that was due to the Humana Vitality Points that were awarded for riding the course out to Red Fine Springs. The one other thing that I had was, I think some of the members on this committee knew this before, that I was looking to get a cannon for Red Fine Springs. And the only way you can get a cannon from the federal government is through the American Legion. And I had worked with a few folks through the Legion trying to get one, and the gentlemen were awful slow in responding to me and stuff, and so it went on almost 2 years, and then Daryl Green from Veterans Services stepped up and said he'd take the project on for me, and so hopefully we'll have a cannon one of these days. And the whole reason behind this is we had an Eagle Scout build a Veterans Memorial around the flagpole of Petrifying Springs, and everybody just walks by it. It's a nice little memorial with placards for each branch of the armed services and nice benches and plantings. And what I hope to do is place this gun there so people would naturally gravitate to the memorial. So that's the whole thing behind that. And that's it.
Thank you, John. Swiski?
Fully operational? No.
Well, it'd be pointed at the golf course. No, it has to be DWAP or deactivated.
And any particular era or whatever they come up with?
It's almost whatever is available. I mean, if somebody turned in a Civil War tube and we could get our hands on it, that'd be fine. But at this point, you know, I'll take whatever we can get as long as it's not too big and gaudy.
President Dodge, you had something?
Yeah, you mentioned that Eagle Scout project that just brought to mind that I was out at the Pringle Nature Center 2 or 3 days ago. And not on the red loop, but on the green loop that goes up on Highway C, I noticed a big tower that was built there. Uh-huh. And went up in that tower and didn't see anything, but I mean, it's all blocked by trees and everything. I was wondering why you put it there. I would make a great tree stand, but we can't hunt there.
No, that's kind of where the naturalist asked him to place it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got up there and I looked around.
And I think during the winter and late fall and early spring when all the leaves are off, it'll probably be nice.
Yeah, okay.
But he built a heck of a tower. It's very nice and well built.
Very nice tower.
Okay, John, thank you very much.
Yep, thank you.
Well, Dan.
September was another very good month for us, 3 months in a row that we've just been humming out there. So rounds and revenues are still down, but you know, so are expenses. So we definitely have high hopes for this year. As you see the in the report that rounds are now down under 7,000 rounds, you know, after that terrible start. And you know, we were down almost, I think, 10,000 at one point this year. So things are coming back. We're receiving outstanding reviews on the golf course conditions. Currently, we are core aerifying the greens. The petrifying springs was done last week. The Brightondale Links, the white birch, is being done this week. We're going to hold off on the blue spruce until next spring, so we'll always have at least 18 holes that are not touched. But that emerald ash borer is having devastating effects on the ash trees out at Brightondale. I mean, we're going to lose a lot of trees. I mean, I would estimate somewhere hundreds, I mean, maybe 500-600 trees that we'll lose on Brightondale's property. It's 500 acres because of that emerald ash borer. Food and beverage, again, is going strong. We've done over 2,500 fish fries to date, so that's really going well. The County Executive Cup was well received. I mean, we had 81 players. We had a little rain last Friday, but everybody had a good time. Great comments on the golf course, great comments on the food. You know, we really enjoyed that event. The Taylor Clark Memorial will be held this Saturday. She was the head of the golf team for the girls at Westosha Central, and she was a young lady that unfortunately passed from cancer. So we're having a memorial for her family. We have two Halloween horror events coming up, October 26th and 27th. That was so popular last year, we filled up the Saturday one, so we started a Sunday. So this year we came back with two right off the bat. Again, it's filling up, and we did even increase the entry fee. So that's a great weekend for us. The Brightondale Open will be November 4th, so we're looking forward to, you know, four good events yet this year. At Petrifying Springs, we did take down the rooftop air conditioner, and we did put in the air conditioner attached to the furnace that cools the dining room area. We also have the restaurant overflow in the office on that end that will be cooled, so the building looks so much better without that central air right in the front on the top. And we're hoping that this will be enough cooling. It is recommended to put another 2 or 3 ton, one of those Mitsubishi wall mounts, but we're going to wait and see how the warm weather affects it. We'll wait on that. And we still have the second furnace that Brightondale Links to replace, and that'll be in the 2014 budget. So, and then, you know, it's just, it's been tremendous business the last 3 months. You know, we really have a lot of positive momentum, and we really are offering the public, you know, what they want in the golf courses. And it just shows that people are really, really coming out and supporting the facility. So I'm excited about that.
Thanks, Dan. Any questions for Dan?
I had an opportunity to participate in the County Executive Cup. And, I just want to commend outstanding job organizing. The course is in fantastic shape. The food is spectacular. Truly, you guys have got things moving in the right direction. It's unfortunate the weather, but catching up is just something you never quite achieve, and it's unfortunate you can't control that. But you and your staff, to be commended, appreciate all the effort, Dan.
Thank you.
Anything else for Dan? Not thank Dan. Mm-hmm. Move on to facilities. Frank is at the city this evening because they had put off some of their approval on the 60th Street Tower thing until this evening. And then this evening they also have the Amazon thing, so Frank probably isn't going to be on the top of their agenda. He won't be here. We've got his report. I'm sure everybody received it. Ron Henning, which was something that came upon a little quicker, I think, than Ron anticipated. He had some surgery, was getting ready for retirement, and he has retired. So those of you who are used to seeing Ron here at the meetings reporting, he is retired, effective October 18th, and he's on accident sickness leave until then. 6th Street Tower, the National Park Service did approve it, so we're waiting for the city this evening. And if approved, Frank told me we're going to start construction on the 9th, so that's 2 days from now. And hopefully we can get a hole in the ground. It takes a month of curing. We'd like to have the the safety for the ice prevention and wind. We still could get this in this year because people have been patient with us. The HVAC controls project at the detention center, ongoing, and we are still awaiting hiring of a dedicated HVAC tech. If you remember, we did hire one, and the person did not stay long. So we're doing this in-house, and it's ongoing. I'm going to skip the Yule House thing for a second. The critical facade and roof survey, we know that that is in the 2014 CIP budget. And the waterproofing, everyone, we've reported on that. That's going to be done with the restoration because the city isn't going to be doing the sidewalks. We're not going to be doing the digging next to the building. That's going to be put off until next year. So now I'll go back to the RFP process for the realtor. Carol was kind enough to join us here this evening and go through all this. So I'd hope everyone has read or at least understood what we've been doing. This isn't complicated at all. So this shouldn't take a lot of time. We should, you know, let Carol. She's done so many of these RFPs. This is three realtors, and if you let her just give a quick explanation, she can be on her way. Thank you for coming, Carol.
Can I just check one comment?
Yes.
I'm not going to be participating in the discussion.
Okay.
I'm also going to be abstaining from voting.
Okay.
Okay.
We're not voting on anything tonight.
Or if we do, we vote.
Okay.
Okay. So you have in front of you the packets, and I have extras if anybody wants one. I don't think I gave one to the user governance fellow there. We did receive three proposals from three different realtors of varying sizes. They're three different companies. So I prepared a brief synopsis of the proposals that we received, and that's in your folder. There are copies of all of the proposals received in there, and there are copies of the RFP documents that went out to them. So if you look at them, you've got Prudential, which is very large, has a lot of commercial experience. You have the local REMAX office, which is more of a medium size. They have a couple of employees. They mentioned three employees. And then you have Huck Realty, which is a one-person shop. So it's your decision who you want to hire. They had two different commission rates. The REMAX is at 7%, the other two are at 6%.
Okay.
it is entirely up to you how you want to go with this. I know that there was also some mention made, I believe someone mentioned to Dave Geertsen about the possibility of doing an open listing contract. I don't know if that's something that you want to think about. About all I have to say.
Okay, so where's that?
Which one was 7%?
REMAX.
Back page.
That's double sided.
Mr. Chairman.
Well, one person at a time.
That's all.
Okay, so that's Kalisky.
Is it feasible for you to provide us your recommendation?
I did not.
You've been doing this a little longer than me.
I have. I did not sit and read them word for word, which I normally do when I am evaluating a proposal, and we usually assign a points value to all of them. I have not done that because this committee said that they were going to make the decision. So I have not done a full-scale evaluation of all three proposals. I see one proposal here that has a lot of commercial experience, that is a quasi-commercial building. I think any one of the three would be able to sell the building or would be able to do a good job for us. It's going to be a difficult decision on this, short of pulling one out of a hat.
So, no.
I don't have a gut feeling. I think any one of the three would be able to do the job.
Anything else, Supervisor?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Noble.
You said something about open listing. What is that, and what is that?
From what I can see by doing a little research on it, it's kind of like a for sale by owner, where you offer the listing to any realtor, can bring in anybody in there, and they get the full commission. And we have a realtor here, and perhaps he can describe it better, but that's my understanding of what it is that it would be open to any realtor to sell, and they would get the full commission rate.
Well, that sounds logical to me. Why don't we just do that in the first place?
This just came up recently.
Any other questions or discussion?
Mr. Chairman, directed to you. Do we need to take some action, and what's your gut feeling?
We don't have to, but we can't put everything off.
No, that's my point. Let's get on with it.
Exactly. This is, you asked me a question, I'll answer. This has been ridiculous, how this is dragged, how Carol has been dragged into it, how we have not just said, you handle this and we'll do it. We've jacked around with this, jacked around with it. If we can't sit here and get something done on this tonight, it's ridiculous. So I think somebody should make a motion to go to the open listing or pick somebody here and do it. But it's a $400,000 building at the most. We've done $10 million bondings with nobody asking questions, and we're jacking around with this thing. Excuse me, but I've lost it a little bit with this one.
I just have one more question.
Yes.
With the open listing, would that be your preference? Does that give you the most freedom, or is it better just to use one realtor?
My opinion would be to use one realtor, but
okay.
I think the open listing would have more staff involvement from the county, so you'd have to assign someone to that project, whether it be myself or somebody from facilities.
And one other quick question, as I just perused through this, it seems to me as though Prudential Premier Properties provided you the most detail, the most strategy, the most, and maybe that's based on their experience. Is that how you, when you looked at the three proposals, is that
correct? Yes, they provided the most information on the house. They provided comparables, one other provided comparables as well, but they did a whole market analysis and provided their opinion of what the value of the house is.
And they're familiar enough with the area here to be as effective
this
as
one. Yeah, there are no realty companies.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they did.
Thank you for all your work.
Sure, you're welcome.
Anything else?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to make a motion that we select Prudential Premier Properties as the realtor for Mrs. Yule House.
Second.
Move and second to accept Prudential Premier Properties as our realtor for the Yule House per the contract. Any questions? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? You the governors?
Aye. Aye.
What's that?
Does this have to go before the full board then, or should I?
God, I hope not.
No, it doesn't.
Thanks, Carl.
Thanks, Carl.
Just to make sure that it shows.
Supervisor Noodle.
Epstein.
Nothing gets passed over.
Right. Oh, how about, is this signed?
Yeah.
By everybody? Okay. Next item is the resolution to provide funding for the cost of acquiring properties in the Fox River floodplain. If everyone remembers at the last county board meeting, I questioned a resolution that came forward because the money was from the a highway. Thanks, Carol.
You're welcome.
It was in the public works budget. And normally someone would have at least called. I would have known something. I could have, you know, told the committee what was happening, but there was nothing there. So I questioned it, and it was sent to us. So that is what we're looking at this evening. And that is the resolution to acquire. And for those of you that don't know the history of acquiring property in the floodplain, we've done, I don't know how many million now, but we're up to 80 to 100 homes. We have been very aggressive and have gotten the funding. Now, this is a real low grant that's left, and we're looking at, it's one residence when you're at 132,000. You might acquire them for 80. You have to move them. You have to then demolish the property. You have to fill it in. You grass it, you know. And if you drive along Highway W, you'll notice a lot of green space now along the Fox River and a couple homes out there, people that, you know, don't want to move. But what they've got is one home. They had $102,000. They needed 30, and they were going to take it from a public works budget that we as a committee didn't have discussion with. And I asked Mr. Sipsman, he said he didn't know anything about it, so I thought it was worth us hearing about it. So that's why we're here. And Jim's going to explain it.
I'm waiting at
Haney. Haney.
Hi. Good evening. I just wanted to pass out the map just so you can see just the floodplain area that we're just talking about. Give you an idea of where things are at. Some of you have already seen this.
Andy, how many homes is it? Was I exaggerating? Or?
No, you're right there. It's, there's 100 total through the program. 98 in the Fox River floodplain has been purchased since 1995. And so John Meehlin administers the program through our housing authority, and they have two grants that are still active right now from the 2008 flooding. This particular one right now, there's $102,000 remaining. It unfortunately is not enough to buy one of the pre-approved homes that exists out there, because you can only purchase the homes that have been pre-approved by FEMA and the state to be purchased. And the values that they're using are from 2008, because that's the process. That's when the flood took place. You can't use the values from now. And so sometimes the numbers kind of throw things off because they're kind of large. But that was when things were really high with values with property. So with this resolution, we're asking to be able to use some of that money to be able to fill the shortfall in being able to purchase at least one more home. If we don't have the funding to do that, then the $102,000 will be sent back to the federal government. We will not be able to use that. The other aspect in this is any additional funding that would remain, because it is being asked for $50,000 to be moved over, would be able to be used to purchase any properties that would come up that are foreclosed upon. Those things just happen, and there would be funding available to be able to make a purchase when those properties are only going for about $20,000. It would also allow for
people that might want to donate their properties to for the county to pay for the paperwork to record the documents and fulfill that donation. And it also would allow for the situation if there's any tax-deeded properties that the county acts on. There's a home that's there. The home needs to be demolished. There are no current funds available to demolish the home. So those would be the reasons for and or the use for these funds.
Right. And then I guess Jim can explain what my question was, not being informed of the money coming from one of the accounts in the public works budget. And so Jim, you're prepared for that.
Yeah, when we set up the 2017 budget, we put $50,000 into a public works budget in order to be used for, there was a person in planning development who left. And if anyone in public works needed assistance with an engineering study or a consulting study or water, even related to highway, we were going to use that money to hire that person. We have not had the need to use that money to hire that person in 2013. So we thought the best use of it would be to acquire this property. The funding's going away at the end of the year. And that's where we decided the money was come from. Why it didn't go through this committee, we ran it through the Central Finance Office, and they said it was a planning and development committee issue. And now,
they've learned their lesson now.
Yes, we all have. We should have run it through you guys, and we didn't, and we now know that that was not the right thing to do. I don't know what else to say.
So where does it all?
Which piece of property is it?
Well, it's John Whelan has that list. I don't have exactly which one he's looking at because he has a short list, and he does need to have a willing seller, and so it does depend, and so we have the up to amount that he knows the highest would be $30,000 to cover the shortfall. That's his prime one, but until he makes an official offer on what that property, then we don't know exactly.
Okay, so you don't know which one of the pieces on here?
I couldn't tell you which one it is.
Actually, I'm surprised. I've been on the board since 1990, so every one of these 98 I would have been around for. Surprised how much yellow is on here.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
Because I've been involved since it started.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think just to note on that, when you do look at that, it's the yellow are the areas that have been purchased and cleared out. The dark green are the properties that still have homes on them. There's 84 of those. And then the light green are vacant lot properties. And when we did have the flood this last spring, which was one of the top five highest crests of the river, there was only five homes that had water in their first floor. Only five. There would have been 80, 70 if all those homes would have still been there.
They seem to be, where there's still homes, seem to be concentrated in three different areas, like way at the south of the river, and then kind of right in the center, there's like 10 homes right there maybe, and then kind of up at the top. Is there any reason why they just are standing pat, or isn't it really, do they have a little higher ground there, or what?
You're right on both of those cases, is that in some of those areas, the ground is a little higher, and so even though they're within the floodplain, they don't get affected as much. And then when John Meaden goes through to try to purchase those, the cost benefit is too low to be able to meet the standard. And again, you have to have a willing seller as well.
And it's prettier there.
Yeah.
If you go down, I mean, I've canoed along, those are nice areas.
Yeah. Even when it's flooded, it looks pretty, actually. Yeah. Unless you're living there.
Anything else, Dave? Where is Kaliski?
I sit on the Planning Development Committee, and so I'm all aware of why we moved this along in our committee. Now that we've been taught our lesson, we won't try and pull any shenanigans like that again out of public works. But I still support it, and I'm making a motion to approve Resolution 52.
Second.
Move a second to approve Resolution 52. Any further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andy.
Welcome.
Thank you very much. Sorry for the delay. For the packet? Would there be a way in the, well, when will this become the county board? Week from tomorrow? Week from tomorrow? Could we have a map in the...
We can attach it to the resolution.
Okay. Great. This way.
Oh, sorry.
So, that's all we have on the agenda, folks. Any other business? If not, we have a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Kolesi, second by Supervisor Dodge. All those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you very much.